Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So with the July 4th holiday this week, chances are some of you are listening in the midst of an extra long weekend, if not a full week's vacation. Have you been able to make a successful getaway, or did your regular routines get packed for the trip in the form of your cell phone? Smartphones seem to be the main culprits in what New York Times reporter Matt Richtel calls vacation sabotage. He wrote about this in last weekend's travel section and joins us now to share what he learned about how the brain helps or hurts our chances of coming back from time off actually feeling like we've been away. Hey, Matt, thanks for coming on for this.
How are you?
Good. Tell us a little about what got you talking to neuroscientists about vacations.
I think it dates back to March. We took the family to Hawaii. We were all jacked up. It was going to be the best vacation ever, and I killed it. My vacation was dead on arrival, and so with my editor, we came up with an idea for seeing if we might figure out ahead of time how to make your vacation be less stressful and more relaxing.
So, listeners, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show today. Why don't you call us? Matt came up with a list of rules that we'll go through on how to actually make sure your vacation is a vacation and you come back rested instead of almost as stressed out as when you left. But let's hear about your rules for getting away. Do you turn your phone off? Do you work a little and play a little? Maybe that's, you know, better for some people than not doing anything. How do you make sure you're getting away when you are off? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And your first rule is start now, meaning what?
Yeah, just a preface to these, what I discovered was that there actually is some pretty interesting neuroscience behind how to prepare yourself for vacation. Some of it sounds obvious, but then when I put it into practice, I wound up using it and having a pretty otherworldly, fantastic vacation.
And I love this, by the way. We talk about the neuroscience of everything these days, it seems, and now we're on to the neuroscience of checking your email poolside.
Yes. Okay. I'm absolutely willing to laugh at myself for the use of that term. And you're right. And just in defense of it, that has become a little bit of a catch-all, which I think refers not only to psychology, which might have been the term we always used, but we are starting to understand a little bit about how the chemicals in the brain work. So
yes.
I take your...
And I'm not criticizing. I'm just
it's fair.
Noticing.
If you are fairly noticing.
What is the neuroscience of checking email poolside?
Well, do you want me to do that, or do you want me to go on this thing about practice?
Do that. Do the neuroscience.
Okay, So what your devices, and many people sort of know this intuitively, it's giving you a burst of adrenaline every time you check it, and you begin to crave that. And so in its absence, you feel bored. It takes some time, in effect, to come down from that cycle of stimulation. If you constantly have your device with you, if you're even checking it occasionally, not only are you checking your device, which is its own thing, but you're reinforcing this sort of cycle of stimulation. That is kind of a really emerging, fascinating form of neuroscience around the device that can affect your vacation. In other words, you keep your device with you. You're not only checking email, which provides its own stress maybe to relate to work, but you're reinforcing the stimulation mm-hmm. cycle. So one thing is understand how your device and your brain work together. That's one basic thing that I heard.
So that makes a lot of sense. So that gets us to this idea of start now, or literally practicing to go on vacation.
I was so surprised to hear this over and over again from the people I talked to. They said, you need to start now. In the first couple of conversations, I said, what can you possibly mean? I'm sitting here, you know, in my office. How do you mean start now? And they said, today we are moving so quickly in every facet of our lives that to prepare yourself for vacation, you need to, in effect, prepare yourself to disengage. It can be any number of things, you know, without sounding too, you know, San Francisco where I'm based, a little bit of meditation, a little bit of breathing, a little bit of exercise. But in the course of doing those, to not merely make them a to-do list of activities, but to make them a deliberate effort to disengage from your work. And I just want to give one bit of science here to reinforce it. The woman I quote in the story worked with veterans coming home from the Gulf with PTSD and had them do very simple breathing exercises. And after they did these breathing exercises, there was a discernible, measurable change in how reactive they were to the world. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can do that coming back from a war, surely you can begin to create an environment for yourself where you're less reactive mm-hmm. to your device, to your work, mm-hmm. to your neuroses, to your fears, justified as they might be.
Great.
Practice.
Anthony on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hey, Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Many years ago, I often wouldn't enjoy my vacations, and I actually went to a therapist, and the decision was, you know, being a type A, the way to go was the exact opposite, which was I fill my vacations up with a lot of activities, and I take these adventure vacations where I accomplish a lot of things, so I feel accomplished and less lazy. And it has worked for the last 10 years. It's the way I do it, and I love it.
Good tip. Thank you very much. Uh-oh, Matt, now you're in trouble. Caroline in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Matt. It's your sister-in-law.
Oh!
I told you.
You people I'm screen
so proud
callers.
Of you. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
I told you you were in trouble.
But, no, this Matt's sort of research into this field has been really influential with our family and just sort of relating to each other and turning off the phones at dinners and just trying to be more aware of it. And my boyfriend's a restaurateur, and it's just constantly the phone's always ringing. The people are always calling. There's always something going on. So when we go on vacation, we just try to leave the phone in the room. Only when you go outside to the beach, not take the phone with you. Turn it off at meals. That's crucial. Maybe just spend give yourself an hour or a half hour every day to kind of check in and answer what you mm-hmm. need to, but to really put it aside and just forget about it. You can't relax otherwise.
Caroline, how bad is he, really?
Who? Matt? He's the best brother-in-law in the world, and I wish he was here.
Thank you very much.
Can I say two quick things?
I think it's only fair.
Okay, one, you got to tell me ahead if my mother-in-law calls. And two, to the previous caller, he actually makes a really good point. And one of the pieces of advice was for those who really are going, some people recommended finding a task to do, but one that was not so rigorous or mentally engaging that in effect you don't change the context of your life. It sounds like what he did was replace a certain kind of stress in his workaday world with a very different kind of activity. And this goes to another piece of advice that the experts, if you will, would give is change the context. That doesn't mean you have to try to sit on the beach and stare up at the sky and wonder why you can't relax. It could well mean undertaking a less rigorous kind of mental activity.
Mm-hmm. That's great. By the way, your cousin Jake is online. No, I'm kidding. well, let me get one more of your tips in here, and that is endure the boredom. What does it require? You offer the beginners and advanced versions of that one, and I think it relates to that first caller, doesn't it?
It really does, and there's a couple of ways people can do it. One way, as he suggested, is to work through, for some people, you know, work through the period in which you're disengaging from this high-stimulation lifestyle, which is not, by the way, only a function of our devices. They may be a symbol for it or delivery mechanism for it, but we are all moving ever faster in a tough economy. You don't want to miss anything. You want to be ever responsive. You've got to let that period pass. One way to do it, as that caller suggested, is to put another activity in the way that acts as a kind of bridge. What the researchers suggested, and my sister-in-law knows this well because she practices this kind of thing, is what would be considered mindfulness. A more sophisticated version is to literally kind of sit quietly and watch your brain flip around and do somersaults and look for something to focus on, to obsess on, until that period passes. I mentioned I just had a terrific vacation putting some of this into practice. We went to San Diego, and I could watch over the course of 2 or 3 days where my brain settled down and I stopped worrying about even the little things, but I had to endure that period of boredom to get there.
And a couple of your other tips, I love the title of this one, don't prepare for your own death, which means don't clean up your apartment or your office like you might not get back and stress out even more before leaving about your intense cleanup?
Yeah, so I've had the habit of doing that, which, you know, if you ask my wife and certainly my mother-in-law, they'd be pleased that at least once a year my office gets cleaned. But implicit in that activity was some really interesting science, according to some of the folks I talked to, and that has to do with expectations.
And I have to jump in because we're going to run out of time here. Another one that I like and I want to get out there is don't worry about re-entry. Most of it is spam. So that's self-explanatory. People start checking their email days before they come back because they don't want to be behind when they come back. I think Randall in Leonia is going to get the last word, or should I say the last note, Randall?
Randolph Harris. I'm a friend of Pete Seeger's and also a former Almanac singer with him, Faith Petrick, wrote this song, and I will sing the refrain.
You got 15 seconds.
Okay. And in reply to how you have done so very well and experienced so much success, the reply went, hard work and perseverance, moral fiber of the soul. I'd say by your appearance, you could use a little self-control.
And we thank Matt Richtel, Brian Lehrer on WNYC.